The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Battalion, welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking with me via virtually distance, of course, from none other than senior correspondent Charlie Saladino.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
We have Dominic Definition Man Serrano.
Oh, it's good to be back.
We have L-Man Jenny Feldy.
Merry Christmas, nephews.
And we have the man on the side, Hassan Godwin.
Papa Yoy.
On this week's show, we have another Jay Burnley segment. We have Chris Wosley's Chris Picks for Chicken Soup of the Soul. And we have our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, with his Big Apple coverage of the convention that he just attended not too long ago. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's morphin' time!
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi, as well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 27 years of pop culture and history and comic book stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Also want to give our shout-outs for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Kyle Horn, Millie Portes, News, the famous Drizzen Media, Unjikun, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, Rosa, and the Hurricane. You want to have your little shout out? Go to our website, www.icamefreedom.com. Little button on there takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, I want to mention, because we always take away the news with the Morphin Time segment, today, which is the 19th of April, Netflix just aired the 30th anniversary special of Power Rangers. So it was, I want to make a quick little mention of that as a huge Power Rangers fan myself. All right, so let's see. Start off with sad news, as we always tend to do, which we only have one bit of sad news this week.
I got to tell you, with my time off the show, I didn't miss the sad news.
Actress and screenwriter Garn Gaynell Stevens died recently. As of this recording, no cause of death has been announced. While appearing in a handful of movies and TV series, Garn was perhaps best known for her role as Marge Gutman in the first third Halloween movie, Season of the Witch, in 1982, and that of Phyllis Harriet Hastings in 24 episodes of the series Phyllis, which ran from 1976 to 1977. She was 78. Senior correspondent Charlie Saladino, were you familiar with the TV show Phyllis?
Yes, I was.
Were you a fan of Phyllis? No.
Again, all actresses, all actors, all sad news stuff, all gone too soon. I liked her on that show.
So, moving on. That's it for the sad news. So, for me, not a sad news.
Yay!
Wow, that was... Wait, why didn't you ask, like, Jen, myself, or Hassan if we, you know...
I was hedging my bets.
Yeah, good bet.
I got one good, Hassan.
I don't know.
That's two, Dominic. Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed her on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
There you go.
That's I only say that because I actually just Googled her. I have no idea. I just wanted to teach you not to assume, sir.
So moving on from the...
That's a lot of nuts!
Department. The new Super Mario movie.
Should downsize that department. That's all I'm saying.
The new Super Mario movie has held on to the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in an additional $92.3 million in ticket sales in its second week of release. It is. For those of you keeping track, Mario is now the highest grossing film of this year with $358.9 million, followed by the new Avatar sequel, which had made $282 million and counting. I actually got to see the Mario movie.
You mean you're using domestic numbers, though, right?
Correct. Domestic. Okay. Domestic box office.
Yes, okay.
Because that's all we care about on a little show.
That's not all we care about. That is all you care about, sir. That is a very different distinction. But
I'm using the formal we as the we of my show.
Yes, okay, the royal we. Got you.
For the box office. That's his god.
Please. I've sacrificed yet another bucket of popcorn for you, my lord.
You know, working 10 years in a movie theater, I no longer enjoy popcorn.
Really?
Because I know what goes in it. Free. Well, besides that, I used to get free popcorn, unlimited amount of free popcorn, as much as I could possibly eat. And I guess I reached that limit.
Wow, you really ate a lot.
I guess so.
I did. I ate a lot of popcorn.
Pretty cool, though.
But I saw the Super Mario Brothers movie.
And I figured you would. Not too
bad. What was interesting about that is a friend of mine, she was saying how when she saw it with her kids, that she thought it was an inferior movie to the Sonic movie. And when I saw it, I thought it was slightly better than a Sonic movie, which I thought
was a
Sonic
superior movie to Sonic movie.
And
now
she asked me why. And when I gave her the reasons as to why I thought the movie was better than a Sonic movie, she was like, yeah, but that's not the movie. That's all like the little things around the movie. And so I thought about it. I was like, huh, she's right. So I liked all the Easter eggs, not the actual movie, because the plot was terrible. The story was terrible.
This from the guy that is constantly like ripping apart plots left, right, and center. You missed it on this and you like fell victim to this fan service.
Well, what happened was is that every time
what had happened was
yes, every time Chris Pratt spoke every time Chris Pratt spoke, it pulled me out of the movie. So I really wasn't paying much attention to it. It was like a light.
That's not the movie, that's you though. That's
is that
like a,
you thought
that's
he was so
thing.
Hot?
No.
You're like, he's so high, I can't
focus. Gotcha questions.
No. You know what? We're going to move on.
Now, is anyone else thinking, like, someone's going like, hey, guess who the number one movie is? And someone's like, it's a Mario. No? That just immediately came to mind. The number one movie in America. It's Mario.
That's the commercial. See, we gotta wait for the commercial. Like that. That's what's gonna happen.
I did, but if I said that, it would sound nothing like you.
No, right now, I mean, it's amazing.
That's Mario dying. It's who's dying right now?
Dying
Mario.
It'd also be a little exploitationist if we let Charlie do it. So, you know,
but it's not exploitationist if I do it. My name's Dominic Scarano. How much more?
But the senior correspondent doing it, though.
You know what I'm saying? My name is more Italian than his name.
I got no dog in this fight.
Moving on. From the he's yet to go to trial and it doesn't look like he will department.
Who are we OJ? Paying these people?
What is our payroll look like?
As reported on our earlier show, star and co-creator of Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, had not only been fired off of the aforementioned series, but also had been cut from any and all other projects he had been associated with due to allegations of domestic battery, of corporal injury, and one felony count of false imprisonment by menace, violence, fraud, and or deceit. Turns out that California prosecutors dropped all charges against Justin due to, quote, a lack of sufficient evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. Oh, Roland says, I have always known that these claims were false, and I have never had any doubt that this day would come. I'm thankful that this case has been dismissed, but at the same time, I'm still deeply shaken by the horrible lies that were reported about me during this process. I'm also disappointed that so many people were so quick to judge without knowing the facts, based solely on the word of a bitter ex trying to bypass due process and have me quote-unquote canceled. I'm determined to move forward and focus on both my creative projects and restoring my good name. So we were talking about this a couple of weeks back, and there you go.
I need to know what's true.
You need to know if it's true?
I need to know what's true. I need to know what really happened, you know? It's like this guy's getting punished for this thing. He's almost losing his job. It's like, what really happened?
He did lose his job.
No, he didn't almost.
Well, maybe he can come back now. I guess I was kind of going in the future.
No.
You know? Now you think he's done?
No. Done. There's no coming back because no matter what, he's going to be labeled with this for the rest of his life. And there's always going to be someone who's going to say, like, no, he's a, you know, a wife beater or a domestic abuser. It's very hard to come back from this.
Yeah, James Gunn came back, though. That's, I mean, there are people
James
who
James Gunn came back from, like, a tweet.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're exonerated in court, doesn't that...
It's supposed to.
No.
It's supposed to, but no.
No.
All right. He's not exonerated in the court of public opinion.
Well, he can be. Yeah. He can. It's not necessarily. You're probably right, but there's a chance.
Mark this down, that Assange on this date said I'm probably right.
That's why I need to know it's true. Make it personal. Like, this whole life.
I'm not going to make it personal. I just I think this is the first time you've ever said that I'm probably right about something.
I've said you're right a bunch of times. You just never heard me.
You haven't been on the show. God knows how long. Neither have I.
I've said it a bunch of times when I was listening to the show when you could never hear me.
See?
It's the best time to say it, as a matter of fact.
I think you might have said I was probably right one time at Comic-Con. With no recording going on.
It happens so seldom you remember the moment. So that I feel bad about that.
There you go. Sir, you know who tells me I'm right more than you? My wife, for Christ's sake.
Wow.
I know. Oh my God.
Moving on.
That happens at least twice a year with her.
Along the same lines. Moving on. From the milkshake duck follow-up department.
This is why I can't get a raise.
As you get previously mentioned on an earlier show, actor Jonathan Majors had been arrested for an alleged domestic dispute, and as a swift move, none other than the Army pulled his TV recruitment campaign as a result of these allegations. Despite the court case being weeks away, Jonathan is being removed from multiple upcoming projects from various film, TV, and additional ad campaigns, as well as Jonathan's manager and publicist announced that they dropped him as a client. Experts say...
This is an addendum to Dominic having been right in the last segment.
Jonathan Majors has had quite a promising career ahead of him thus far, but as a rising star who has not yet established, he has less industry credibility to fall back on to carry him through a situation of this nature. Partners like Marvel and other household names that were in contracts with him wouldn't have to be quick to comment initially, rather wait for more legal process to play out. This dispute may not be a complete career killer for him, but depending on how these proceedings play out, he may never have the career that many thought he was heading towards after this year. The relationships between a client and their agent and publicist are ones that needs to be built on honesty and trust. So this signals to me that the talent team has learned information that goes on against their professional mission and will inhibit them from having a work relationship moving forward. I would advise Jonathan to tell the truth if he hasn't. That, along with a public apology to the woman involved, would be a good starting point. From there, he would establish a plan that can be shared on how he would be working to better himself, including domestic violence courses, anger management sessions if appropriate, and working with foundations to help victims. Now, remember, this is me talking, Jonathan's lawyers had said Jonathan Majors is completely innocent and is probably the victim of an altercation with a woman he knows. We are quickly gathering and presenting evidence to the district attorney with the expectation that all charges will be dropped imminently.
Not quick enough.
The evidence, which includes video footage from the vehicle which the episode took place, witness testimony from the driver and others who both saw and heard the episode, and most importantly, two written statements from the woman recanting these allegations. So if you remember, we were talking about how Ezra Miller seems to be like scot-free because he said that I'm getting better and going to rehab. And now this guy's like, maybe that's what Jonathan should do also. But he hasn't been arrested. I mean, he hasn't been tried or anything. He's only been arrested, and then all this stuff's happening. So it's kind of weird of what's going on right now.
So, yeah, I'm very confused. So the woman who has accused him of assault or abuse has now written twice that he didn't do it?
That is the evidence that they say that they have that they're presenting to the district attorney. I said
and
the trial hasn't happened.
Him not doing it?
That's what the lawyers are saying. So whether the lawyers are telling the truth.
Somebody was paid off.
It seems like even if this woman recanted, someone else probably came forward, or someone or several other someones came forward in the process of, you know, because like people and I don't mean this in a derogatory way. People kind of pile on to this. So like, say yeah. like if yeah. he was if he behaved inappropriately with other people, but they were afraid of his celebrity status. When he, you know, when there's blood in the water, the people who have a bone to pick with him will come out of it. And that is not me denigrating their claims that something may or may not have happened. So,
well, I mean, you see the exact same thing because Hassan is right.
you know, what's going on?
I pay it back. But you saw the same thing with both Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. and Jeffrey Epstein.
And Bill Cosby.
Someone was finally able to come forward and say something. People felt the courage to come mm-hmm. forward themselves.
Which is what I suspect has happened.
Right.
Because if the woman, those agencies want to make money off of him. So right. if the woman recanted her story and there's video evidence that he right. that he didn't do whatever he's being accused of doing now, everyone would have jumped on it. That would have been disseminated throughout the media like wildfire, and he would have been as exonerated as a person in his position can be. Right. But if there's this long delay from the incident to now, which has been, and he's just hemorrhaging jobs left and right, yeah. then something bigger is going on, unfortunately. And yeah. I don't see most of the times. People don't recover from this kind of bloodletting.
No. I mean, I don't know if you guys covered it because I've been kind of busy, but what's Marvel going to do? Because they were like betting the farm on him as Kang, right?
They haven't made an official announcement
yet. Yeah. From
He's
what
not
I've
been
seen,
fired yet.
From what I've seen, there have been quote unquote, I'm going to do the Mark throat clear. No, Marvel has had no discussions concerning Jonathan Majors as of yet. That's the official quote.
And that being said, the Loki season 2 has already been filmed and finished. Mm-hmm. So right. he's in that.
Right.
So yeah, that
should do.
They gotta wait.
They should replace him. They should do a full roadie, but replace him with Terrence Howard.
That might work.
Woo, that's meta.
Charlie likes it. Jen likes it. Everybody likes
that's
it.
That's powerfully meta.
How will that be?
All right. Moving on. From the, let's see if we can do, let's do this one first.
From
this
the,
is,
why
this,
can't.
This is a good one. Hold on.
Why are we wasting money
from
on
the,
departments?
This is a good one, department.
From the.
It's time for another good idea, bad idea.
Follow-up department. As mentioned on a previous episode, Stephen Capaldi had been arrested and charged with killing his wife after confessing to police. A search of Stephen's phone reportedly found confirmation that he was in a 6-month-long, quote, emotional and sexual affair, unquote, with another woman, as well as multiple internet searches such as how to get away with murder, how to control your dark impulses, how to disappear and never be found, can you avoid police detection by turning your phone off, as well as quick re-cement, reciprocating saw, and DIY blacklight.
Plus, can people read your browser history? Plus, oops. Plus,
yeah. Yeah. even reportedly agreed to lead investigators to his wife's body. This is what we reported on before. It turns out that he didn't just suffocate his wife with a pillow, but also dismembered her and hid it after he cheated on her with another woman in hopes of opening a comic book store that his wife was opposed to. Stephen pleaded guilty to third-degree murder, abuse of a corpse, tampering with evidence, and related crimes in the death of his wife. Stephen says, "I know I'm guilty, but I don't know why I did what I did." Stephen is sentenced wow. to 22 to 44 years in state prison that, and was ordered God. To pay $8,308.50 in restitution to his daughter for funeral expenses, to undergo mental health evaluation, and to have no contact with his daughter unless she chooses to contact him. So, that God. Happened.
Wow.
My question
Stephen
is...
Capaldi. Now, that's not...
No, that's not. That's Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
as Dr.
Wow. The question is, why are we covering this? What is this?
Because
entertainment and news.
Because
it's one of the departments, Dominic. We have to justify the payroll, man.
Because as we mentioned,
there's a payroll?
He wanted to have his own comic book store. He wanted to open a comic book store. His wife was opposed to having a comic book store. He found a woman online who supported his decision to open a comic book store, and therefore he decided to kill his wife because he wanted to open a comic book store. That's why
had to do was say, honey,
I'm going
to
say that the person in the department that brought this to your desk is reaching hard. Like, this is a real reach right now. I don't know who's on this payroll. I'm not. But we need to readjust who's on the payroll bringing you these stories.
We need an org chart. We really need it.
All right.
Yeah. Yes, Charlie. What do you got, Charlie?
The comic book store thing, total farce. There was a comedian a long time ago who said, if you ever want to do a crime or if you're ever doing something, in your demands, put something totally insane so you can get, you know, the insanity plea. Yeah. And he said, like, just say, I want a helicopter, I want money, and I want the number 3 taken out of the English language. Just put something, this comic book thing, is that he just wanted to kill his wife because
reasons.
You know,
remember,
because he hated her.
Remember,
the bottom
they
line.
Did search his phone, and they did see messages, so it's in there that
discussing a comic book store.
He wanted to open the comic book store.
Wait, Jen.
The biggest mistake.
Yes, that was the whole thing that the police
about the comic
went
book store?
Into. Yeah, the police There's went into his phone and they found all the messages and all that stuff because obviously he didn't know how to hide anything on his phone, and there was conversations, and that's how they knew he was cheating.
I don't really find that all that amazing, because I unfortunately watch an unfortunate amount of true crime, and people decide to kill their spouses for the dumbest reasons. Like, it's like nobody just decides, you know what, I'll just break up with her, you know, it's almost a thought that never occurs.
Well,
like, I'll just take the hit, I'll just take the divorce, and we'll go our separate ways, and I won't go to jail for, you know, 3,000 years. And, you know, she can go on living, doing whatever she wants.
Exactly.
And I can open my comic book store. It's crazy.
Let me put it this way, though. Perhaps this should also be an indication of what's so wrong with civil court, that people are thinking, I'll take my chances murdering someone and possibly going to jail rather than going through a divorce.
Well, if they know something about you. Because I was thinking about murdering someone this week, and I was like, well, you know, it's just, once you sever ties with someone, you know, now all the things they know, whatever, that can give you leaks. So, you know, sometimes death is, you know, and I'm not pushing death, but I'm just saying, you know, it does have some benefits.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
I didn't get that impression at all.
Maybe it's secret.
Charlie, what do you
listen, got? Listen, my ex-wife didn't want me to get a motorcycle. I didn't utilize our pillows. She's still living. You know.
Did you get the motorcycle?
No, but we did get the divorce. And she's still
because living. After the divorce he had no money for a motorcycle.
No, the divorce was actually because she wouldn't let me open a comic book store.
And now he pleads insanity.
It's still better than being in jail, Charlie.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm agreeing with you. That's why I'm saying I actually lived your example.
Yeah, just think. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
We'd
right
be having
now.
A remote from the prison. Live from the prison.
Or we would be having the conversation, and we would be talking about all the evidence and what the people are saying.
How to not get caught by police when you're escaping from them. I think that was the funniest part.
There was actually a movie, How to Murder Your Wife and Get Away with It. And it was a comedy, believe it or not. Very amusing movie.
Well, obviously, it wasn't informative at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what he watched.
You know, the big mistake is having pillows in your bedroom. Okay.
It reminds me, I forget what movie it was. I saw it I would say within the past 5 years, and they were like, how to hack into something. And they went to the computer and said, rule number one is don't use the computer to look up information. They immediately threw the computer out because they're like, don't do that is the first thing. It's don't do searches of, thing, of these things. All right. So moving on for the last bit of news.
Oh, thank God.
From the, hey, we like money. How can we make more department?
Yeah, you better you better have one of those.
None other. Yeah. Than you know Netflix. What?
Maybe we don't read this piece of news. Maybe we just do it.
I think that's the story of every American working hero in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, we like money. How can we make more?
Then Netflix has announced a straight to series order for an untitled animated series set within the Stranger Things universe. Stranger Things creators, the Duffer Brothers, says, we've always dreamed of an animated Stranger Things in the vein of the Saturday morning cartoons that we all grew up loving, and to see this dream realized has been absolutely thrilling. We couldn't be more blown away by what Eric Rolls and his team have come up with. The scripts, the artwork are incredible, and we can't wait to share more with you. The adventure continues. As of this recording, it is unclear if any of the main characters will be part of, or even voiced by the original cast members. For those of you who don't know, or care for that matter, Stranger Things is Netflix's most popular English language series of all time. Animated series tend to perform well on streaming platforms as they tend to have repeat watchings. A breakout animated series can become a cash cow thanks to lucrative lines of merchandising. And while animated series typically take longer to produce, they also tend to be cheaper than live action originals in the long run. Would you guys watch a Stranger Things animated series?
Nah.
One no.
I don't watch Stranger Things to begin with, so no.
Two no's.
I'd watch it.
One yes, Charlie?
I watched it in the beginning, and then I said, all right, I'm done with this.
That's a maybe. That's a tentative.
Remember, we saw the Godzilla. The kids of Stranger Things were right down in the theater.
They were in front of us. They were sitting in front of us. And we were like, who the hell are these kids? And why is everybody like...
taking pictures in the
movie. Yeah, everybody was so happy. To see, like, who the hell is these? Sit down. Godzilla's on. Godzilla's way more important than these kids. I don't care what anybody says. And then we realized we were wrong.
I think... I don't know.
They were not the only people who were not important in that audience was us sitting there like what's going on.
I'm torn between having an animated series of the Stranger Thing universe. Like, I was a fan of the series. I felt it run its course, and I feel that they are beating a dead horse and just keeping it going. So
that's,
I don't know,
such internet talk. It's run its course. I just don't think it's within the correct ethos of the story. Give me a break.
Look, if it's the best series ever.
Yes, exactly. If it's good, if it's the animation's good and the stories are halfway decent, then fine. If not, then not. But this, like, people are talking like, oh, man, I think we've run our course with this. You know, I believe it's all right. Then just stop watching.
Was that comic book guy, or was that...
I don't know who it is. I don't do voices. So it was just is the most obnoxious person I can think of in my own head, of which there are many.
Lord Godwin? Well, I mean, was that Lord Godwin?
Somewhere, yeah, like, that was definitely guy Lord Michaels.
Look at League of Legends, like Arcane, man. Yeah. It wasn't an amazing story by any stretch of the imagination, but the animation was really good, and it won every award from 2020. You know, so I mean, what they're saying is true, that it can be very lucrative. Look at Rick and Morty before all this, you know, the stuff that's just ended. Mm-hmm. You know, guy just got exonerated. Look at before all that happened, Rick and Morty was one of the most lucrative ventures for whichever network that was. Was that Adult Swim? Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there's money in it. If they do it right, if they hack through it, you know, I mean, it doesn't bode well that they're like, we could do it like Saturday morning cartoons, because a lot of them aren't quality animation. A lot of them weren't back in the day. Also, Saturday morning cartoons are notoriously short-lived. Because, like, I just found out that Oh, this is stupid. But I mean, I just found out that Pole Position. Remember Pole Position, Mark?
Yes, yes,
I did. It's only 13 episodes of Pole Position. We watched that for like 20 years. So, I mean,
all right, fair enough.
It's so, very lucrative for them to do, and you don't have, it doesn't, then you don't have to do the full run of 65 episodes in order to do a weekday thing. So,
I thought it was always strange with Saturday morning cartoons how it would be like there'd be two seasons of it, but 300 episodes.
Well, yeah, the typical run is about 65. So if you're doing 65 episodes and you're doing it once a week, you can that you can make that last a long time. Right. But if you know, if you're doing it weekdays, that's going to run out in a couple of months.
So we are almost out of time. So we have our final thoughts. Senior correspondent Charles Saladino, final thought?
All right, this is my final thought. If they're going to make an animated series about Stranger Things, why on earth aren't they going to make an animated series about the Blockbuster skyline?
Dominic, different experience. Ronald, final thought?
If you're going to kill your significant other to open up a comic book store, one, you have to definitely make it look like an accident. And two, make sure that you have a really good insurance policy, because you're not going to get the money to open up the store if you murder her, or at least get caught. So you got to really make sure that works out.
Final
you,
thought?
You're just speculating, though, right, Dominic?
That's final not. Thought. Right
absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't want to own a comic book store. I wouldn't believe that.
My final thought is always drink your Ovaltine.
No, oh, man, Jenny Feldy, bring it home.
And
final thought.
Peanut butter, cheese, and turkey is a great way to go to sleep.
All right. So with
that, she's going to start singing peanut butter jelly time. I was like, what?
Take our break. We'll be right back. We came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Now, back to our show.
Hey, this is Jay Burton Lee, and we're here to talk about movies, music, TV, and what's going on in our part of the world. Today we're going to talk about Blast from the Past.
Yes, a movie that was done around early 2000s.
No, 1999.
Really? Wait, 1998 or 99?
99.
Oh, was it really? Oh, wow.
How do you know this?
Because I remember the movie dates.
That's so funny.
All right, interesting.
So it stars Brendan Fraser. Okay, and Alicia Silverstone from the movie Clueless. You remember that Clueless movie?
Yeah.
Clueless?
Oh, you might not have watched it. You might not have watched it. It was a high school film.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
All right, okay, all right. So, tell me the premise.
What's a premise?
The synopsis. Do you know what the synopsis is?
What's a synopsis?
More complicated the story. What's to describe the...
Synopsis and the premise is what is the story about?
Oh.
Okay, can you tell me that? You got a lot to learn, my friend.
What? You used a relatively hard word to figure out, and then you used an even harder word to describe it.
How about the elevator
the
pitch?
The main idea.
Do you know what the elevator pitch is?
No.
No? Tell me.
Just say the main idea.
What is the story about? What's the main idea? The elevator pitch is also like, tell me the story in like two lines. Can you do that?
Yeah, it's about how this family got, well, what was his name? The dad, the guy that, like...
Christopher Walken, but I don't remember his name in the movie.
Well, anyway, he, thought that people were attacking, like, him.
Right,
like,
they thought it was the Cold War, right? And
yeah.
That there was a nuclear bomb going to drop on top of their house.
So he built a bunker, underground, and, stayed there for, like, 35 years, and he had, like, enough food for... 35 years worth of food.
Yeah, so his 35. Okay, his wife was pregnant, right? There was a plane that crashed on their house, but they thought it was, like, the end of the world, so...
Yeah.
He locked himself in that bunker, like
you said. Yeah, and then you just see how things change over, like where his house was, and then, like, things change, like, all these stores once.
You're not describing it right.
So describe it.
Okay.
Fine, you do it.
So... A family locks themselves in a bunker because they assume the end of the world is happening when really a plane just crashes on their house. 30 years go by and they're
35.
Whatever.
Okay.
35 years go by and their son has been dreaming of finding a girl and all that, and their bunker finally unlocks, so he's able to go out into the world and finally find that girl and get more groceries.
Well, yeah, because they want to stay there. Right. Because when the dad came out, he saw all this weird stuff, so then he told that it's weird, so you have to, like, get all this food for, like, you have to stay there for a couple more years.
Right, his dad went out there, saw that it was, like, a bad neighborhood, but he didn't know it was a bad neighborhood. He thought it was just crazy.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a heart attack almost and went back down and sent his son to go...
And
get supplies so they could be in there for another 30 years and find a girl, right? Like you said.
So did I describe it decent?
You did, but it doesn't sound like a comedy.
Well, we didn't say it was a comedy.
But it is a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. It's funny. Boom. There we go.
Okay. Well, so yeah. So he gets like baseball cards.
That costs like thousands of bucks.
Right. He uses that for
money.
For money. He meets like... Alicia Silverstone, who's and she's like his guide, right?
Yeah, like to get a woman and stuff like that.
So, what'd you like about the film?
I liked how all the old stuff, like all the old stuff,
was in like in present day, like for them.
Hmm? Well, it was all in present day.
No, I liked how they had all this stuff from like the 1960s or whatever, whenever it was
1962.
But that's good. I'm glad he knows.
Okay, 1962. And they were able to sort of see how things changed throughout the years. And also how having all that stuff from back then made them rich.
Made them rich, yeah.
The thing I liked was when they had, like... So they got their house, and, like, it was, like, outside on land, finally, at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I liked how they had, the like, a very old house and all that old stuff, and, like, it's, like, new, like, because it's, like, you know, 35 years, and it's 1997, so...
He rebuilt it.
Yeah, and... But I'm saying, like, I like how it's, like, it's new, like, land and new stuff for them, but it's, like, old house and, like, old clothes and all that for them also.
Okay, so it's, like, yeah, so he, like, kind of took all the old...
Yeah, I like all the old and new. Like, I like that.
You like how it all kind of combined together. Yeah. I gotcha. That's good. What about the characters? Were they funny to you? Like...
Oy vey. The son, he was something.
Was he embarrassing?
Oh, yeah.
So he made you feel embarrassed?
Yeah. Secondhand embarrassment. That's why it's kind of annoying. Like, some characters just make you embarrassed.
But that's good. It drew a feeling out of you, right? Like, you couldn't believe what this guy was doing. Not a good...
I hate that feeling. I hate when...
But I liked how this guy was so smart, though.
He was very smart.
He was very smart, but...
Yeah, because he was reading for years and years, Riley.
Yeah.
Read.
I don't like that. Those four letters.
Four letters.
Is that four letter word is read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading is fundamental. There was a whole thing called
fundamental.
What's that?
Riff. It was a program. It was called Reading is Fundamental.
Actually,
yes, of course.
Also, a four letter word.
Well, reading is fundamental. I think it was a three letter word.
Oh. <oops. laughs> Anyway. When you said riff, I assumed R-I-F-F.
No,
it's R-I-F.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
all I know is reading is fundamental, and you should be doing it all the time. We all should be doing it all the time. It's good for your brain.
Yeah.
Is this an advertisement for reading?
Yes, it is an advertisement now for reading. All right.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay connected.
Bye.
Ever wanted to enter the world of comics but didn't know where to start? Worry not, true believers. We at the Comic Book School may just have the answer to your questions. Created by comics veteran Buddy Scalera, the Comic Book School is a free online educational resource that helps rising creators learn the craft and business of making comics through resources like forums, interviews, publication opportunities, publisher guidelines, and step-by-step blog posts. For more info, please visit our site at www.comicbookschool.com. Be sure to join our forums and follow us on social media while you're there. We'll see you on the message boards.
Now, back to our show.
Hey, it came from the radio fans. It's Chris Woolsey, the king of streaming, here with another segment of Chris's picks for what's cooking on Chicken Soup for the Soul streaming service this month. Well, we've got a ton of great stuff for you this month. You know, we have obviously Women's History Month. And since Chicken Soup for the Soul streaming is a female-centric streaming brand, we have a bunch of great films and TV shows for you. One of my favorites this month is the documentary Quant, which tells the story of fashion designer Mary Quant, who actually created the miniskirt. So really interesting. You think, well, do we really need a documentary about the person that created the miniskirt? But when you look at just how influential that one piece of fashion was, and considering when it came at the height of the sexual revolution, it's fascinating. And Mary Quant herself is so interesting, a true iconoclast. Just a fascinating story of her passion for not only making women feel beautiful, but also empowering them at the same time. So check out Quant. It is really good stuff. Now, it seems like we are going through a season where there is so much great stuff coming out of New Zealand right now in terms of content. Obviously, Taika Waititi and everything that he's doing, so much cool stuff. And we have a great series called Funny Girls. We just premiered season 3. You can watch all 3 seasons on Chicken Soup for the Soul for free. Now, this is a sketch comedy series, but it's interesting because it's a sketch comedy series about a group of women who are trying to create a sketch comedy series in a entertainment world that is largely male dominated. So not only do you get all of these great sketches that are hilarious from a female point of view, but you also get these interstitial storylines about the women trying to deal with all of these male executives. It is fantastic. And it's great because there's a lot of people who at the time weren't big names who are now pretty big, and you get to watch them kind of cut their teeth on this series. So Rose Modafeo, who is from the series Starstruck, that's a big hit right now. Jackie Van Beek from What We Do in the Shadows. Nick Samson from the Brokenwood Mysteries. All kinds of great star names. Definitely want to check this one out. It is fantastic. I also love Short Term 12, starring Brie Larson, a very young Brie Larson. You want to check that one out. Really dramatic. Make sure you've got the box of Kleenex sitting next to you. But it's one of those films where you go back and you go, oh, yeah, that's when she solidified herself as a star. Like, you knew that Captain Marvel was just somewhere in the future because she's so outstanding in this film. Check it out. We also have Song 1, starring Anne Hathaway, another one you're going to need the Kleenex for sure. Anne's character's brother gets in this awful car accident. He's in a coma. No one can reach him. The doctors can't figure out how to get him out of this. And she decides that she is going to go and find her brother's favorite singer-songwriter and bring him to the hospital to play music for her brother, hoping that this will get him out of his coma. And in the process, she finds love. So really good stuff. You want to check that one out for sure. And then, you know, right now, I feel like the royal family is more popular than they've ever been before. I don't know if it's because of all the drama with the brothers or if it's the passing of the queen or what, but they're just always in the news. And we have the Royals documentary series. And this is great for so many reasons, but one of them is because they interview all of these people who have had access to the inside of the royal family. And so you get to hear all of these stories from people who you maybe would have never, ever known that these things were going on behind the walls were it not for these interviews. So really cool stuff. Definitely want to check those out. And we've just got a bunch of stuff on there for women's history, women's empowerment. You can watch Chicken Soup for the Soul on Samsung or Vizio TVs. We're coming out with the Roku app here any day now. And also, if you go to chickensouptv.com, you can cast it from the website on your laptop or desktop to your connected TV. So again, this was Chris Woolsey, the King of Streaming, with Chris's picks for Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
The Comic Book Depot has been in business since 1993, your one-stop comic book shop for comics, gaming, and collectibles. The Comic Book Depot club membership is $15 and gets you 15% off new comics, back issues, graphic novels, and 10% off comic book supplies. Located at 2847 Jerusalem Avenue in Wantagh, New York. Contact us on Facebook for curbside pickup because new comics are back. For more information, give Alan a call at 516-221-9337. The Comic Book Depot.
Now, back to our show. This is Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent from It Came From the Radio. I'm here with the very lovely and multi-talented Monique Dupree. She's the actress, producer, and wrestler. Monique, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm a little slice of heaven, as always. Monique, tell everybody all about yourself. You're an amazing person.
Well, my name is the original Gata Monique Dupree, and I am a wrestler and actress slash screen queen, producer, filmmaker, social media manager, cosplayer. I do a little bit of everything. I've been doing this for 32 years. I've been an actress, and then I got into wrestling about 11 years ago because I've always loved professional wrestling and always wanted to be a valet. And I got to live my dream out because of Tommy Dreamer, former ECW and WWE wrestler. This is what I do now. I have 10 children who are also in the arts. My brother is Tony Todd. He played Candyman in the original Candyman. So it's in the family business, you know, we love to entertain. And this is just what I do. This is why I'm here at Big Apple Comic Con. On top of being a huge nerd myself, I love comics and I appreciate artists. I appreciate writers. I live with them and I like to cultivate that. So this is why I'm here today, on top of, you know, selling my own stuff, of course. I just love being in the entertainment industry.
Thank you, Monique. Now, Monique, how do people get in touch with you, see what you're all about, see what's coming up for you? How do they do that?
Well, I have all the social media. So if you just, the simple way is to say Google Monique Dupree and you'll see all of my stuff. However, on Twitter, I am The Original Gata, T-H-A, Original Gata. The same for my Facebook page, which they're both verified, so that's how you know when it's me. My Instagram was hacked, so I had to start all over again. So my Instagram is Monique Gata Dupree. If it all else fails, just Google Monique Dupree and all my social media will come up. My TikTok, my YouTube. I promote everywhere and I do respond back. So feel free if you have any questions about anything that you'd like to know, I will message you back.
Monique, thank you so much for taking time out. This is Monique Dupree. She's an amazingly multi-talented, beautiful lady. Check her out on her social media. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Gray Griffin, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio. Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino live at the Big Apple Con, and I'm here with Ulysses Freitas. And wow, I can't believe I did that right. But I'm here with Ulysses, and he has a very unique product, which I just bought one of the books because I'm very intrigued with it. Ulysses, how are you? And tell us what's going on here.
I'm good. I'm the artist of Dungeons and Dragons Behold, A Search and Find Adventure. It's like a Where's Waldo meets Dungeons and Dragons type book.
How the hell did you come up with this?
I've been drawing in this art style pretty much my whole career. I did like a Star Wars book called Where's the Wookiee, and so I'm just kind of known as that type of artist, so those companies, they hire me to do their worlds.
That's a beautiful thing. I love the artwork here. It's amazing. How did you get started with this?
How I draw, like one page, or
yeah. No, how did you come up with the Where's Waldo artwork then?
I just love the original Where's Waldo, and I just like drawing all different like pop culture icons just in that style. It's just
I think it's genius to put it into a sci-fi, a fantasy world. I think that was wild. How did that happen?
Well, it's like I did Star Wars first, which is the sci-fi, and now doing the Dungeons and Dragons is like the fantasy. So it's really fun to do those two genres. But it's also like, there's, you know, the environments are completely different. One's, you know, spaceships and metal, and and in fantasy it's a lot of stone and forest, so that's kind of like the two main things I like to do.
Well, I'm dying for our fans and just the general public out there to see this work. Where can everybody get in touch with you and see your work?
Right now I've seen it being sold in like Target, Walmart. It's a nationwide release. It came out in February, and I hope it does well.
Beautiful. Now, do you have any social media that people could get in touch with you?
I'm on Instagram, Ulysses A. Farinas on Instagram.
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to see this stuff. It's amazing. Ulysses, thanks for the interview, and we'll be looking for you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the interview.
This is Charlie Saladino live at the Big Apple Con. Back to you, Mark.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent from It Came From Radio, and I'm here live at the Big Apple Con, and I'm here and very honored and happy to be here with iconic kick-ass drummer Gina Schock from that little band called the Go-Go's. Gina, how the hell are you?
Darling, how are you? It's just been a fun day. Really full of interesting and crazy people. New York City never fails to amaze me.
And let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How does it feel to wake up every day and say, oh my God, I was in the Go-Go's.
You know, look, I got to tell you something. It's not something I think about every day, but when I meet someone like you or I come to one of these shows, I'm reminded of that, and I almost think, who is that person? Is that really me? Because what a life I've had. It's been a charmed life. I mean, it's been wonderful. Everything I ever dreamed of and then some.
Do you realize that you ladies have opened the floodgates for millions of talented females that are out there now?
I don't think, like I've said many times, I don't think we weren't thinking that, certainly, when we were out there in the early 80s. We weren't thinking about that at all. We were just a gang of girls having a great time, doing what we love, spreading our music to lots of folks who seem to be enjoying it. And it seems to have stood the test of time.
Yeah, it definitely has. And let me tell you, you gals, if you do a show, it's a sellout.
Our live shows are fabulous. I have to say, we are a great band in concert. We really, really are. I enjoy playing. I love it. It makes me remember why I do what I do when I'm standing on a stage playing for folks, for fans, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 or 100,000 or 250,000 like Rock and Rio. It's always a thrill. It always makes me feel good and makes me grateful to be breathing every day.
Now, I'll always say this because I'm a musician. The thing that separates the legends from the weekend warriors is the fact that you in Baltimore just took your father's truck and you knew what you wanted to do and you took off for L.A. That takes what I was going to say, you know, balls.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind I was 21 going on 22, so at that age I think we're all kind of fearless, you know? We believe anything is possible. I still believe that because all my dreams, everything I ever thought I dreamed of accomplishing have sort of happened for me. And I am still in awe of how things have worked out for me because it was only a dream and then it became a reality for me.
Well, you are one of the most kick-ass drummers I know.
Thank you. I love my instrument. I love doing what I do. And drumming is a fantastic. Anybody, if you have any frustrations, get a set of drums.
Oh, I know that. Gina, let everybody know what's going on. I know you got a couple of gigs coming up, so let everybody know about that and your social media.
Yeah, I've been going around. I've been doing these Comic-Cons just as of lately, and I have been, been doing book signings, which sort of led to doing these Comic-Cons, and I'm also doing some photo exhibitions of my photos that are in the book, and I will be doing some shows. I'm doing one in Baltimore at the Hard Rock on April 14th. Wendell, when is the show in Baltimore? April 14th? And 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then at the Stone Pony, April 22nd from 12 to 3.
Yeah, we're doing road trip there.
I'm excited about both shows. It's going to be like a three-hour groove where it's going to be me doing a book signing, then me doing a Q&A with the audience, and then I'll be playing like 10 or 12 songs. So it'll be a great afternoon. It'll be a great evening in Baltimore and a great afternoon in Jersey.
That sounds great. Gina, it is...
If that works out, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, keep going.
Thank you, honey.
Gina, it is not only a pleasure, but an honor for me to be, as a musician, to be speaking to you and knowing that you are a rock and roll Hall of Famer. Thank you so much for taking time.
Anytime, darling. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Charlie Saladino from Came From The Radio, live from the Big Apple Con. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
Hey, this is Ty Monk, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from Came From The Radio, still live at the Big Apple Con, and this is the Big Apple Con wrap-up report. I must say I enjoyed this convention immensely. It is held in the New Yorker Hotel, a huge historic hotel. Everything ran smoothly. Just everything seemed to flow. Everybody here, all the guests, all the talent was off the charts, hospitable, and just very, very pleasurable experience. A big thank you to Mike, Cindy, and Ivy for their wonderful hospitality. And again, the artist and the staff were just great. And I want a big thank you, give a big thank you out to Gina Schock and Kathy Valentine, the bass player and the drummer for the Go-Go's. They were extremely friendly, extremely hospitable, and I got a terrific interview with Gina, got some great pictures with Kathy and Gina, and that just made this convention for me, being a musician and stuff like that. So once again, I want to thank everybody associated with the Big Apple Con. It was, I must say, there were crowds here, and it's probably going to be a success. We're going to have to check with Mike on that, but other than that, everything looked perfect, no incidences, and I'm very pleased with this visit to the New Yorker Hotel for the Big Apple Con. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Cindy. And thank you, Ivy. This is Charlie Saladino at the Big Apple Con. Back to you, Mark.
Hey, guys, this is Kari Payton. You're listening to It Came From The Radio. So keep listening.
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio, IndieVolt.com, CentralOregonRadio.com. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.